The real sale starts after the first objection. So if you're struggling to handle them right now, regardless of whether it's your outreach or in your meetings, then you're literally flushing closers down the drain. But don't worry, in this video, I'm going to teach you how to handle objections, the words to say, but also the psychology behind why we experience objections and how you can handle literally anyone, regardless of your product, your service, or even your business model for that matter. Now, if you think about it, we handle objections all the time in everyday life. With our friends, with our family, especially with our loved ones, we're constantly paving through different conversations and situations to try and get out of them what we want. And the reality of it is the majority of people suck at handling objections and handling these situations, which is why they struggle to grasp what they want, what they truly want out of their life and out of individual circumstances. Now, objection handling is very similar to the pecking order that we experience growing up, especially as a young male. As we grow up, we encounter people who dominate us and who talk down on us and maybe pick on us, right? And they will do so for as long as we enable them, for as long as we succumb to that. They say something, we can't handle it, we let them have it, and then they come back and they'll bully us again. Until one day, we say something back smart enough that they cannot overcome. We say something so witty and so quick that they feel so stupid that they're not going to try that again. And it's very similar with objection handling. When we come back with something that they cannot overthrow, when they give us a rejection and we give them one back and they're stumped, like, oh, ah, he's got me there. We gain respect and then we gain the sale. So objection handling, as much as anything else, is about gaining respect of the people that we are selling to and showing that we have knowledge and we're also trustworthy in our intent. Now, I've been through some very brutal objection handling over the years. In fact, I used to go door to door selling to estate agents. It doesn't get much more brutal than that. I've worked in boiler room, cold calling centers, doing over 100 cold calls a day. And so at a very young age, I was conditioned to be quick and fire back, have something to come back to these individuals, especially as the majority of people I was selling to were 2-3 times my age. So I was already on the back foot already. Right? But this one particular role was when I was going door to door selling to estate agents. This was particularly brutal for objection handling. And I've got to say, probably it's where I learned 99% of what I know today when it comes to handling objections. Now, coming into this, I thought I already knew what I was doing, having been in cold calling jobs. But going door to door is brutal. And any of you who have ever done this will resonate with this. And I was selling to estate agents, and so you're already selling to existing salespeople. So it was an uphill battle from the start. And honestly, 2 weeks in, I almost quit. I remember having a conversation with my parents, calling them up saying, I'm way out of my depth here. Just way out of my depth. I basically blagged getting the role in the first place. But I was going door to door into these estate agents and basically getting kicked out of the door again and again and again. And it was infuriating. But it ignited this fire within me to not take no for an answer, to try and understand the reasons why I was getting these objections in the first place. And there are so many reasons why people will try and object you, but I drilled it down into two core areas: trust and value. Now, if you master both of these two things, you'll be able to eliminate 90% of the objections that you could face in any sales-based environment. Now, of course, you will still get some, and I'll help you overcome them later on in the video. But if you first focus on mastering value and trust, you'll get rid of the majority before they even have the chance to come up in the minds of your prospects. So let me give you an example of this door-to-door. I was selling a software which essentially enabled real estate agents to have for sale boards put up outside of houses. Now, previous to this, the majority of estate agents were literally having a member of their team go out and when they get a new property for sale and put up this board themselves, drive around to the house, put up this board themselves, okay? So it costs them an awful lot of time, it takes someone away from their job, and it also costs them a lot of money, right? Because all of that time that they're spending, they're not working on whatever else they should be doing. So this software, this service, provided a really great solution to them. It saved them time and both money, immense value. But when I was going in these estate agents to start off with, I'd ask for the manager, I'd be in front of them, be nervous as hell. I'd just start blabbering all these different features of the service itself. Oh, I want to talk to you about this software I've got. Okay, what does the software do? Well, the software helps you put estate agent boards up. Oh, we've already got Lucy in the office. She does that. Why do I need that? Well, it's going to save you some time. Well, it doesn't take me much time. I just ask Lucy to go down the road and pick it up. And at this point, the prospect's already turned off. They don't see the value, okay? They're already just trying to get you out of the way. It doesn't even matter what you say now. I could say, look, it's going to save you X amount of hours a day. It's going to save you X amount of thousands per month. They're already on their back foot. They already don't want what you're selling. They already want to get you out of their office. So you get, oh, I'm not interested. Oh, we've got someone else doing that. And it's very hard to overcome those objections when you haven't conveyed the value immediately. And I did that with repetition time and time and time again until I realized I wasn't thinking about the specific result, the specific desire and pain that an estate agent was experiencing by having to go and put up these boards themselves, because they didn't even see it themselves because it was the norm. And so I had to go in there and change the way I was pitching and instead ignite or bring to the surface that pain of having Lucy in the office go put up the boards. And so I go in there, get in front of a manager and ask him, if I could save you £1,000 a month and about 10 hours a week of employee time putting up the sale boards, would that be worth a quick chat? Straight away, in one sentence, I've conveyed all the value of the service without going into specific features and all the things that make the company tick, but not the client. And that's very important. So that's value. Next thing we have is trust. It's all well and good saying that. It's all well and good conveying some value. But how does this individual know, how does the client know that we can actually fulfill on this bold promise that we have just made for them? Well, it's very simple. With the majority of you, you're gonna have previous clients, you're gonna have existing clients, you're gonna have case studies. You wanna leverage those case studies and piggyback off the authority of those. So for me, when I was going in here, if I just signed up another estate agents down the road, I'd be like, oh, we just started working with John's estate agents. Well, they know John's estate agents, they're one of their competitors, and if they're getting this leg up, they're saving this time on a monthly basis, they're saving this money on a monthly basis, they're gonna want a piece of that pie as well. They're not gonna be the one that's benefiting from this. So I piggyback off the authority of somebody else. Now, some of you are watching this might not have case studies yet, you might not have previous clients, and that's absolutely fine. You can still relay trust in the way that you speak and in your knowledge. It's very important that you're very articulate about the way you explain your service and the result of your service. You're very knowledgeable and you can handle questions. If they ask you questions about the specifics, then you should be able to answer those questions with confidence. And in that way, that's how you're going to build trust in the initial stages. So value and trust. Think about these when it comes to your outreach and your sales process, and evaluate whether you have both of these core areas covered, because that's where you're going to prevent the majority of your objections. But you're still going to get some slip through the net, right? It's unavoidable. And actually, I welcome them, because objections are a way to strengthen a relationship with a prospect and make a sale much stronger than it was previous. Because if you leave a sale with an objection still outlying, that prospect, that potential client or client that you've just signed, it's gonna have these outlying doubts and insecurities that might then manifest into something serious, or them taking away the contract, getting buyer's remorse later down the line. So it's very important to have these conversations, these open-ended, transparent conversations. So what happens when we do receive an objection that we can't handle, even if we have our foundations in place? Well, the most effective skill that we can use in any objection handling situation is something I call active empathetic listening. Most salespeople, when they're on a meeting or on a call and the prospect is speaking, are just computing constantly on what they want to say next. They're not even listening to the prospect. They're just thinking about what they need to say in order to get the client over the line. Or they're just thinking about their meeting strategy. Oh, it says I should ask this question next, so let me just get back to that. Not even listening, right? That is counterintuitive to the entire sales process. You're not going to build any rapport, you're not going to build any trust, you're not going to diagnose any specific problems that you can provide a solution to, right? I cannot count how many times I've listened to sales call recordings in training people on sales where you can just see the dead zone in the sales guy's eyes when the prospect is speaking. And then when they finish speaking, they're like, okay, yeah, awesome. So have you thought about this? Change the subject, diversion. You're gonna turn the prospect off and it's gonna create all these insecurities, doubts, and hence you're gonna get more objections. Instead, you should practice empathetic active listening or active empathetic listening and ask open-ended questions. Oh really, can you tell me more about that? Why do you think that is? Or you can use power phrases. Repeat part of what they just said to you to show that you have listened to what they said. If they said, well, our sales are really struggling right now, they've been on a decline for the past few months and the only thing that's changed is our new website. Oh, you think your new website could be responsible for your sales decline? Why do you think that is? So it's undeniable we're listening to them. And it's especially important when it comes to objection handling. Somebody says to us, I don't have the time for this right now. then you would say something like, I completely understand you don't have much time, but... So we're acknowledging their pain, and then we're providing a solution to it. And this is the first couple of steps of the LAIR model, the L-A-E-R model of objection handling. Listen, acknowledge, explore, respond. And we can use this model to handle any objection. We've covered listening, active, empathetic listening. We're gonna then acknowledge their situation, okay? So we're gonna validate their concerns. I understand that you don't have much time, but we're then gonna explore and dive a little deeper into that specific objection. And then we're gonna respond with a solution, a specific solution that solves the whole objection in the first place. Let's use an example. Let's say I'm an ad agency and I'm gonna pitch my service to a business to help them get more clients. And I'm on a cold call and I get the objection, I don't have time for this. Okay, very common objection. I don't have time for this right now. So we don't have video, we're not in person, so we can't nod to show them that we're actively listening, but we can use our voice. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna acknowledge them. And the rest of the objection might be something like, I completely understand time is a scarce tactic right now. Although technically speaking, if I'm gonna generate you more clients, I'm actually gonna save you time on sales. Look, I only want 15 minutes over the next few days. Isn't that fair? Okay, something along those lines. Let's break that down a little bit. So our acknowledgement is, I understand that you don't have much time. It's a very scarce tactic, right? It's a scarce asset right now. Okay, so we're acknowledging their situation. We're then digging into it a little bit more, but look, I'm gonna help you get more clients. So technically speaking, I'm actually gonna save you time on sales. And then we're gonna respond with our solution. I only want 15 minutes of your time over the next few days. Isn't that fair? It's very hard to deny that. Someone says I'm really busy right now, but we're actually gonna help them save time on their sales. And we only want actually a very small amount. That's pretty fair. Another way to overcome a time objection, you could acknowledge them by saying, look, I understand you don't have much time right now. Although, when are you gonna have time to grow the business? So we're gonna trigger a thought and we're gonna give them a question back to their objection. When are you gonna have time to grow the business? At the start of the call, you told me you wanted to get more clients. So if you can't dedicate time now, when is it gonna be important enough to you to actually grow the company? Okay, dig into that a little bit. Overcome that objection, see what they say, okay? And then give them a solution. Look, all I want is one meeting, and that one meeting could be the solution to your time problem. So how about it? Now you're gonna get better with this over time, be playful with it, use the LAER model. You won't always need to use the explore stage, okay? Some objections can be handled a lot quicker, and you're just gonna do listen, acknowledge, and respond. And as you are going through your meetings, build a list, a database of all the objections that you're facing, write them down and your answer to them. It's gonna act as this encyclopedia that's just gonna make you an animal on the phone because you've handled every single objection that you could possibly get. And I've built one of these for the agency industry over the years of having thousands of agency calls. I've already built one of these and given it to our private community in our education business, and you should do the same thing for yourself. So that's the end of this video. And remember, an objection is not a rejection. It is just a request for more information.